can say that our Savior is ours. Amen. Well, tonight we have a special guest speaker with us, and I'm excited that he's here. And my mother-in-law, I'm excited she's here too. Despite what Pastor says about mother-in-law jokes, I'm glad she's here. And my father-in-law goes by a lot of different names. He goes by Pastor Mims. He goes by Dad by some. He goes by Preacher others, right? David by some. And in some circles, he even goes by Super Dave, all right? But he's going to be a grandfather here. So I don't think we should call him Super Dave anymore. He needs to be Super Duper Dave, all right? So Super Duper Dave, we're glad you're here tonight and come and preach for us this evening. And thanks for coming over from North Carolina and seeing us.
Thank you.
Amen.
Appreciate it. Love you too, Super Duper son-in-law. How many of you brought your Bibles here tonight? Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. If you know your Bible, you know that that is the end of that of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we've just got something we'll look at here tonight. Y'all pray for me, if you will. I get a little nervous when I get out of the state of North Carolina because I speak slow in North Carolina. So I'm going to have to speak doubly quick here tonight so that my two-hour sermon is cut down to 1 hour. Y'all, that's the truth. I'm telling the truth. 1 hour and everything. Hey, I just want to say it's a great honor to be here tonight, and I just want to thank Pastor Herdman. We definitely need to really pray for him and Brother Daniel. That is a very long trip. I've traveled many different places across the globe, and the part I hate is the actual flying and sitting in those planes and, you know, just all cooped up, and you can't go out and get a breath of fresh air. You can't do that. And it's just a long, long flight. And of course, when they get there, they'll be tired and they'll just be just busy with so many different things. You know, can I just recommend some things to you? Whenever I go and preach in different places and different churches, one of the things that I want to always do is to encourage the people of the church to do certain things for their pastor. You have a great pastor. Boy, say amen to that. You have a great pastor. You really, really do. Don't take that for granted. I usually say there's certain things that you need to do for your pastor. You ought to praise your pastor. I mean, wherever you go, you ought to tell people that you've got the best pastor in all the area of all the churches here. You got the best pastor. You ought to promote your pastor. Let people know about that. You ought to protect your pastor. Listen, I am a pastor, and unless you've ever been a pastor, I'm here to tell you, preachers get attacked. And you ought to be one who protects your pastor. I mean, bless them out in Jesus' name if necessary. Okay? Protect your pastor. And can I also say this? You ought to pray for your pastor. Pray. And can I just urge you tonight that we pray for Brother Herdman, we pray for Brother Daniel. And you've got a great church here, great pastor, great staff, at least most of them. Just pray for that, if you will. And Brother Gilbert, thank you for tonight. I like to talk to you afterwards, if you don't mind. Every time I see a missionary give their slides or their video, whatever, normally I say, man, I can't wait to go there. I don't think I said that about Greenland, our 52nd state. Of course, 51st is Canada. But I appreciate y'all, and we just pray that the Lord will bless you here. And we are going to be grandparents. Someone was telling me from the church that there are an awful lot of ladies with pregnancies and that the nursery is getting full. And so I asked the question, is there something in the water? And if so, don't let my wife drink it. Okay, so she's looking at me. She's giving me that look. Give me that look, meaning let's just get going. All right, let's just go ahead and get going. Listen, tonight, and I want to thank the men who helped me. I am a person who used PowerPoint. And so I want to thank the men who are going to help us here tonight. Tonight I'm going to preach a sermon about stormproofing your life. Stormproofing your life. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, help me tonight. Bless your word here tonight. Lord, I really need the Holy Spirit on me here this evening. We need the Holy Spirit to have great liberty here this evening. and to speak to our hearts. Lord, everybody needs to listen very, very intently to tonight's message, because we're going to find out a truth that happens to every single person, to every single married couple, to every single family, to every ministry. And Lord, we just need to see some things here tonight. So help me this evening, Lord. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, one of the things that I think sometimes we forget, that our lives are made up of relationships. You do understand that. Now, you do understand the greatest relationship we have and ought to have is with that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here tonight who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, say, well, preacher, we're in a good church. Can I tell you, lost people can still be in a good church. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the whole reason you were created is so that you can have a relationship with that of Jesus. Now, the only way you can have that relationship, you've got to be born in His family. And the only way you can be born in His family is you've got to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've got to believe He's the Son of God. You've got to believe He died on the cross of Calvary. You've got to believe that what He did on the cross was totally sufficient to take care of all of your sin, past, present, and future. And that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, He brings you into a relationship with God Almighty. By the way, don't ever take that for granted. If you're a person that thinks, okay, I'm saved, I got my ticket punched, I'm on my way to heaven, that's all that I need to do, you're missing the point. You and I need to commune with God, fellowship with God, seek God, please God, serve God, bring glory to His name, seek Him out. Not just on Sunday, but every single day of the week. But can I tell you, we have other relationships in our life. We've got work relationships at the job site. Some of the kids have that of school relationships wherever they go to school. Inside this church, there are relationships in this church. And by the way, you ought to cherish those relationships. We have that of, let's just say it this way. Mom and dad to parent, to that of children relationships. Husband-wife relationships. In-law, or maybe you say outlaw relationships. We all have these various relationships. And listen, by the way, it's good to have friends and good to have neighbors, and there are those neighbor relationships as well. But can I tell you, when it comes on this earth, apart from our heavenly relationships, some of the most important earthly relationships we have is with our family, with our husband, that of our wife, with that of our children, our extended family. Now, I know there's an awful lot of things that are done when it comes to that of these human relationships, and people make jokes about that, but the truth of the matter is this. Relationships is what makes life interesting and enjoyable. I don't know if you've ever heard this old saying. It goes this way. As goes the family, so goes the future. By the way, that's very true in our community. You and I know that one of the leading problems in our world today is that communities are falling apart because families are falling apart. Can I say this? That's also true in our churches. I believe what makes a church very strong, apart from what Jesus Christ does, but is when the people have strong families built in that of the church. But can I say that's also true for when it comes to that of our country? Would you not agree that in our country, the family has been attacked like never before? I was telling that of Kyle on our way here, I says, I don't know if you knew this, but when it comes to the most recent generations, in fact, the generation they say that is existing right now, the youngest generation, is that of the alpha generation. You know, I can't keep up with all these different generations. You know, there's Gen Xers, Gen Zers, Millennials. I don't know if you knew this, and listen, I'm not trying to be smart aleck here, but I heard this the other day that one-third of all Gen Xers, Gen Zers, and Millennials have already died. You say, what do you mean? Because of abortion. Let that one sink in. You see, this concept of abortion and Roe versus Wade that happened in that of the early 70s has been a detriment to that of our country. It has destroyed the family. By the way, when they passed it, the law that it was okay to have that of homosexual marriages, and then the things that they're doing with the transgender agenda, and literally how that they're trying to persuade boys and girls to change the gender, and they're literally mutilating them through that of the various surgeries. Listen, the family is being torn apart, and can I tell you, that is Satan's tactic, and that is Satan's goal. Can I just say this? When it comes to the destruction of the family, Satan is the leading enemy. And listen to me, one of the most powerful tools that he uses is the storms of life. Which brings us to our passage here in Matthew chapter 7. This is getting to the end of that of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching, and he's summing it up. And it was so powerful of a message that it tells us in that of verse 28 that the people were astonished. And they go into that of verse 29 and they talk about how that he spoke with that of great authority. But I want you to notice what Jesus says. And as I read this, I'm going to emphasize certain things. I may even ask you to underline certain things here because I'm going to point these things out, especially at the end of the message. But I want you to follow with me as I start reading in that of verse 24. Notice what Jesus says. Therefore, whosoever, and then underline these words, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You ought to underline that. You ought to highlight that. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Underline that, founded upon a rock. Look at verse 26. It almost sounds the same, but there's a little bit of a difference. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Do you see the comparison? Do you see the contrast? He says, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. How many of y'all have ever heard this? Maybe children sing this in junior church or in Sunday school, sang a song really based on this parable. Remember that part of the song, you know, the foolish man built his house upon the sand and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. How many of y'all know that song? Come on. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. Y'all may say flat. I say splat. By the way, you're getting your childhood back, aren't you, here tonight? Well, folks, that's a good song. But I want to tell you, that has a lot to do with you and with me, where Jesus tells us how we can storm-proof our life. So I want to share some things with you. By the way, how many of y'all believe we're in the last days of the last days? I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been in the news here and what's happened in that of Iran and the attacks, and of course over the last year and a half what's happened in Israel and the various things are happening across this globe. You know, when you know and understand the Word of God, we're getting so close. Now listen, I know the proper way, the proper teaching, and theologically we really believe this, that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. But does it not feel like it's just right around the corner? In fact, I'm literally shocked that Jesus hasn't come back yet with the things that are going on. Things that are happening that, listen, some of you who are old enough, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we were thinking even then. But what we've seen here just even recently, I really believe it's kind of like in the baseball game. We're in the bottom of the ninth, two outs, two strikes, and the pitcher is raring to throw the last pitch. That's how close we are to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all believe that? We're really that close? Guess who else believes that? Satan does. And that's why Satan is pulling out all the stops to target you, to target your family, to target your marriage, to target this church, to target your ministry, to target your testimony. Hence, that's why Satan brings storms in your life. So we're going to look at some things here tonight, but I guess the question ought to be asked. We saw two houses in this parable. One fell with a great fall, and the other stood. The question is this: which house best describes your life? So I want you to listen to me here tonight. Three things. Number one, you can see this on the screen. Number one, the facts, or the fact of the storms of life. You know, in verse 25 and verse 27, the exact same description is given here. We're told that storms came. How that the rains came, the floods rose, the winds beat down. But here's something that I don't know if you've ever noticed. That storm hit both houses. It hit both of them. Both houses went through that of the same storm. There was no favoritism here shown by the storm. This house, or both houses, were hit by the same storm. See, here's what did not happen. The storm came on the poor man's house, but it then skipped over that of the rich man's house. It doesn't say that. It hit both houses. There was no discrimination going on. I mean, the same rains, the same floods, the same winds beat on that of both houses. In other words, what I'm trying to say is everybody goes through storms. No matter your family, no matter your upbringing, no matter your pedigree, no matter what it may be, no matter your race, no matter where you live, the fact of the matter is this: when it comes to life, storms hits every single home. It doesn't matter if you're from a rich home or a poor home. Hey, it doesn't matter if you're from a saved home or a lost home. These same storms hits that of everybody. Now listen, I got two quick things I want to say about the storms of life. Number one, they are common. They are common. Someone said it this way: you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or you're about to enter a storm. Can I translate that for you? When it comes to your marriage, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your ministry, when it comes to your home, I'm here to tell you, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to enter the storm. I mean this way, that the clouds may be brewing, the thunder may be rolling off in the distance. You feel the winds of trouble stirring, and a crisis could be right around the corner, or you could be right smack in the middle of a hurricane of hurt, even as we speak. Can I say this? I want you to listen to me, hear me very well. This may not be the first storm you go through, nor will it be the last. Because that's what life is made up. It's made up of all these storms. And here's the unique thing. When you're the one that's going through the storm, isn't it amazing how you feel like you're the only one going through a storm? How you may feel very alone. Listen, I had someone the other day, and you know, as a pastor, there's an awful lot of times that we do some counseling with various different people. By the way, can I give you a piece of advice? The best counsel you'll ever get is when your preacher gets behind this pulpit. Every time he preaches, there is very valuable biblical truth that you hear, that if you would just listen to it, follow it away, because I guarantee you there's going to be a day you need that. You know, I tell our people a lot, you can save yourself an awful lot of counsel if you just listen to the preaching of God's Word. But there's a couple in our church that I've been counseling, and here's what the wife said: if I had a perfect husband, I wouldn't have all these problems. And I told her, there's no such thing as a perfect husband. Hey, I'm sure he was thinking, if I had a perfect wife, I wouldn't have these problems. I've actually had parents say, if I had perfect kids, there's only one perfect kid, and her name's Anna. But listen, there's no such thing as a perfect husband, a perfect wife. I say this all the time. There's two problems in every marriage: husband, wife. Folks, I'm here to tell you, storms hit no matter who you are. They're common to everybody. Everybody goes through this. Every marriage goes through that. Every family goes through it. Every man, every woman, every child goes through that of storms. It's common. But here's the second fact, and that is this. Not only the storms of life are common, the storms of life are certain. They are certain. See, storms are not just a possibility, but a certainty. Now, I've got a Bible verse that's going to be shown up on the screen. It's that from James chapter 1. And James chapter 1 really deals with that of the troubles and trials and temptations of that of life. And here's what James says. And by the way, every time I read this, I kind of say, oh, Lord, this is tough to take. But it says this, my brethren, count it all joy. Now, I want to tell you, when it comes to troubles and sorrows and storms of life, I don't normally think of that as a time of joy. But I want you to notice what James wrote. My brethren, count it all joy if maybe. Is that what it says? That it could happen. It might happen. No, it says, my brethren, count it all joy. What's that next word? When ye fall into that of divers temptation. Now keep that verse up for a little bit, men, if you will. You know, that tells me some things. First of all, it tells me that troubles are unavoidable. They're unavoidable. It doesn't say if you fall, it doesn't say might fall, or there's a possibility. It says when. See, I say that because you and I know that there are certain of these prosperity gospel type preachers on TV and various places. They want to try to tell you that when you get saved, all your problems will be solved. They want to tell you you can have honey without the bees. You can have that of the roses without thorns. But you and I know that is not true. In fact, Jesus said this, ye shall have tribulation. Peter goes on to say in one of his epistles, he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. You know what he's saying? It happens to everybody. They're unavoidable. Can I say something here? Saved people get cancer like lost people do. Saved people lose their job like lost people do. Saved people can have heart attacks. Anyone ever have a heart attack? Anyone ever have a stroke? I have. Stroke, heart attack. I'm here to tell you, saved people can have these same troubles and have these same issues. That, did you know saved people can have troubled kids just like lost people do? You know, when I go through the Bible and we look at the various characters that are there, we learn that some of even the greatest people in God's Word had some of the greatest troubles. Can I mention one? Job. The Bible says that God had Satan in front of his presence. He says, hast thou considered my servant Job, how he's a perfect man, he's an upright man, one who fears God and one who is accused that of evil. In other words, Jesus and Christ himself was saying, hey, have you considered my servant, how good of a man he is? But of course, you and I know the troubles that he went through when Satan was allowed to get him. By the way, aren't you glad that God will not allow Satan to come to you unless God says it's okay? There's a hedge of protection around us. But folks, we could look at various other people in the Bible. Joseph of the Old Testament, how that he was hated by his brothers and was sold into slavery and then became a slave to that Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife had googly eyes all over him and made an advance at him. And he literally ran out of his coat. And by the way, praise God, I'd rather him lose his coat than his testimony. And here it is, yet he was falsely accused of rape and was spent that time in prison. Storms. They're unavoidable. We could talk about Daniel. We could talk about that of the Apostle Paul. But what I want you to understand, they're common to everybody and they're certain for everybody. They're unavoidable. Can I also say this? Troubles are also unpredictable. Notice again, look at that verse there on the screen. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall. Last Sunday in our church, just like your choir sings, our choir sings, and your choir comes down, and our choir came down, and we have side doors just like you do, and have steps that go down. And one of our ladies, as soon as she opened that door, was going down the steps. She lost her footing and she fell down those steps. And she hurt herself a little bit, and we made sure she was okay. And then I asked her, I said, "Were you expecting to fall?" "No, I wasn't expecting to fall." Folks, can I tell you, sometimes they're unpredictable. Listen, we just don't know when. You know, I was telling how I had a stroke. It was a little over a year ago, believe it or not. It was a year ago. Let me see. We're in March now. Woo, time is flying by, is it not? But it was a year ago in February. It was on a Saturday morning. We were going to have church visitation. We also had a funeral that day as well. So I got up early and went in to go take a shower and was finishing my shower. And when I just finished, I just cut the water off and something just didn't feel right. So I'm reaching for that, the towel, and for some reason I could not grasp the towel. I said, "What is going on here?" So I'm stepping out of the shower. Next thing I know, I can't even take a step. I fall completely down with a big old thud, and my wife comes running in. Next thing we know, for the next 24, 48 hours, I'm spending time in the hospital. Do you understand what I'm saying? That morning, I never got up saying, "Well, today's the day. I'm going to have my stroke today." Folks, we don't know when storms will come. By the way, not only are they unpredictable in timing, they're unpredictable in type. Notice what it says. It says divers temptations. That word temptations means trials and troubles there and that thing. And that word divers doesn't only mean just varied, but it means this. It means multicolored. Isn't it amazing how some storms are the red color of affliction? Some are the blue color of depression. Some are the black color of sorrow. Some are the yellow color of that of sickness. Here's what I'm saying. When it comes to the facts of life, storms hit everybody. Are we all on the same page here tonight? Here's number two. Not only is there the fact of storms, there's the force of storms. Now, when you read this story, I want you to notice here, these rains that fall, these winds that blow, these floods that rise up. Can I tell you, this is not some springtime or some summertime storm. It's a hurricane of a storm. You see, when it talks about these rains, it talks about these floods, and it talks about these winds, if you were to study it out, you'd find out these were torrential rains. These were rising floods. These were damaging winds. Did you notice Jesus spoke of those three things? Torrential rains, rising floods, and damaging winds. And this same storm beat on both of these houses. Now folks, this has just been a simple thunderstorm. This has just been a simple springtime type of shower that may come. I don't think either of these houses would have been threatened. But here's the point I'm making. It took all three of these to cause one house to fall with a great fall. You know what that tells me? They had tremendous force. These things were formable. Now listen, in like manner, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your marriage, we have three formable forces. Can I say it this way? We have three enemies. You know them already. The world, the flesh, Satan. You see, the world is that external force that's constantly trying to influence us and trying to persuade us and trying to get us to be just like them, to shape our life to be like the world is. And that's, by the way, that's what Hollywood is all about. That's what Nashville is all about. That's what the music industry is all about. That's what the movie industry is all about. Listen, by the way, that's what news is all about. That's what politics is all about. Everything about this world, its beliefs, its philosophies, its teachings, its political correctness, is trying to get you to get knuckled under to what they say is right and what they say is wrong. By the way, what they say is right is wrong, and what they say is wrong is really right. But the world is a formidable force. If you don't believe it, Just look at how it affects our teenagers, these various industries. Then there's the flesh, that internal force. I'm a person that believes that probably our most formidable foe that we face day in and day out is called self, that of our flesh. That's why we're to die daily. But then there's Satan, that infernal foe. And here's the reality. All three forces are beating on our homes, our families, on our testimony, on our life. Folks, can I tell you, whether you've been a person, maybe you're a married couple in here, maybe you've only been married a year, or you've been married like one couple who's up in North Carolina, 85 years. There's a family called the Fisher family that ended up on one of these local TV programs, and in fact, it wasn't even local, it was a national program. They were on, of all things, I was flipping through the channel, and here's this couple been married 85 years. They're on the Steve Harvey show. So I said, I'm just going to listen to, I mean, if they've been married 85 years, I think they could offer me a little bit of advice. And Steve Harvey asked them, how'd you make it? And I like what the husband says, Jesus. By the way, isn't that a great testimony? I have no idea whether Steve Harvey, whether he believes in Jesus or not, but he said, amen. But folks, can I tell you, it is so formidable. Here's the thing that really just shocks me, and here's what's so sad. Most people don't even realize they're even in the midst of a storm. They think, oh, it's not that big a deal. By the way, if they really realized how serious that storm was, don't you think they would take their prayer life a whole lot more serious? Don't you think they would take their devotion life a whole lot more seriously? Hey, don't you think they would make church attendance a priority? Folks, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Please understand, the world, the flesh, and Satan is constantly beating down on you to destroy your life. The fact of storms, the force of storms, and then lastly, coming in for a landing, the fate of the storms of life. See, we also learn from verse 25 and 27 that both houses faced the same storm. Both were beaten, battered, buffeted. But did you notice one house sadly, violently fell, and the other house stood very firm? You know, that house that fell, that sadly fell. You know, I think when that man built that house, he never in his wildest dreams thought his house would be destroyed. When he built that house, he probably thought it would stand for the rest of his life. It would stand for the rest of that of his family's life in there. He thought it would stand for that of a lifetime. You know, there's an awful lot of people who build their marriage and they build their homes thinking that it'll last forever, that no storm will ever topple it over. Can I guarantee you, every couple that got married, whether it was in this church or some other church or wherever it is, when they stood before each other and they looked googly-eyed at each other and they didn't know anybody else was there, they were so in tune with each other. I guarantee, if you had asked them, will your marriage fail? Never. Yeah, what is the statistic for divorce in our nation? I guarantee you, here it is. I'm talking about Kyle and Anna, and they got that baby boy. We're so excited about that baby coming. Have no idea what I'm going to be called. Have no idea. They're going to call my wife beautiful. Don't know what they'll call me. But please understand, when you see that little baby, I don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl, but whatever it is, if I was to ask one other day, you think your family will be intact 30 years from now? Can I tell you, there is no guarantee. Y'all with me here tonight? See, I guarantee that man never thought that that house would be destroyed. Even when the wind started to blow, the waves and the floods and that of the rain began to beat and it was so battered, I bet he watched in horror as his house fell down. Can I tell you one of the saddest things about being a pastor is watching families fall apart. It is the hardest part of that of ministry. To see and to think that they could have salvaged it. But you see, we also see in here that Jesus said, great was the fall of it. I hate what just happened. My notes went away, but here it is. I got it back. But Jesus says, great was the fall of it. And I think what the Lord was trying to say, it wasn't pretty. It was devastating. It was utter destruction. How many of y'all remember September 2024, how a hurricane came up there of the East Coast by the name of Helene? I think a little south of here, it affected here, right? Did it not close I-26 for a little while? And that was, that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people around here said, whew. Well, I've got some friends who live just on the other side of the mountains, just on the other side of the state line. Anybody know where Poplar, North Carolina is? That's not far from here, is it? About an hour from here? I got some friends who are members of our church. They got a little cabin up there. The husband there grew up there, and his mother died just about 3 or 4 months after that of Hurricane Helene. And my wife and I went to go to that of the funeral. And we drove up I-40. Then we got off there somewhere around, oh, I forget where it was, Marion or something there around North Carolina, if you know that area. And we went on some of the back roads. And of course, when Hurricane Helene hit, I happened to be in New Zealand at the time, visiting some missionaries that are commissioned out of our church. I was visiting them, and I heard about it, and I was really in tune. And even our missionary, his mother lived in that of Cherokee, North Carolina, and he was trying to get hold of his mother. Couldn't because of communications were down. But I remember when we went up to that of the funeral there, and we're driving, and I want to tell you, my mouth. We saw thousands. I mean literally thousands. I mean thousands upon thousands of trees down. We were driving on the road. Next thing we know, the road goes to gravel because what had happened was it's going right beside the river there, and the river had washed the road out. And it had washed it out so much that the road used to be right level where the railroad tracks were. But when we were driving that day, we were driving on the road some 30 feet down. Devastating. Anybody gone? We always call it, I don't know what y'all call it here. We call it the gorge. You know, I-40. They're going there from North Carolina into Tennessee. And you know there's that of the eastward bound lanes gone. Any of y'all seen any of those things? What I'm saying is some people don't realize if they're not careful, their lives can be wrecked just like Hurricane Helene did. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of a house being destroyed by either a hurricane or a tornado. There's the shattered glass, the splintered wood, the scattered furniture torn apart, shocked faces, shingles hanging everywhere. Can I say the same can happen to your life? The same can happen to your marriage? The same can happen to your family? Now listen, if you're sitting there saying, it can't happen to me, this man's house that fails probably thought, it'll never happen to my house. But praise the Lord, there was another house. Same storm, same winds, same rain, but that house stood firm. And Jesus said, it fell not. And he tells it why. Because it was built on the rock. Now I want you to listen to me. I'm reminded of what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, Deuteronomy is basically one long sermon. The whole book of Deuteronomy is basically one sermon where Moses is preaching to the nation of Israel. Joshua's going to be taking them over into the promised land. But Moses said, listen, I'm going to tell you our battle plans to take over the promised land. And let me tell you what the battle plans were. By and large, it was this, that you build your family strong. Starts there in Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6, and so forth. And after he starts talking about how that we need to build our life on the Lord, how we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We're to teach all these commandments to our children. We're to, in the walking of our everyday life, we're to teach our kids about who God is, how He's one Lord, one God, one great God, how we're to build our home on that of God Himself. Here's what Moses said, speaking of the Canaanites. He said, their rock is not our rock. And Paul in the New Testament clarifies that, and that rock is Jesus. Can you look at this verse up on the screen? Proverbs 127. Will you look at that on the screen? Notice here. They'll get it up. Psalm 127 verse 1 says this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. By the way, when I put this verse up on the slide, I put the superscription. Notice what it says. A song of degrees for Solomon. Now, from Psalm 120 to that of Psalm 134 are known as the Psalms of Degrees. These were songs of psalms that they would read on the way to the house of God as they ascended up from that of the lower parts of the city up to that of the mountain, to that of the Temple Mount. And here's the thing. This, it says, a song of degrees for Solomon. Who's that tell you who's writing this? David. And if there's anybody who didn't build his house very strong, David didn't. David had eight wives. Who needs eight wives? Who needs eight mother-in-laws? What's he doing with eight wives? And he wasn't a very good disciplinarian. Listen, I know David. David was a man after God's own heart. But because by David's example, Solomon thought it was okay to have multiple wives as well. 700 wives, 300 porcupines. And apparently, Solomon didn't learn the lesson. Except the Lord build the house. Can I say this real quickly, and I'm trying to finish here. Can I say when it comes to your house, Jesus needs to be the center of every home, the controller of every home. Guess who makes the decisions? It ought to be Jesus. He ought to be celebrated in your home. Y'all with me here? That's why I've got this next verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12. Just about everybody here knows this verse. Let's read it. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Have you ever heard this before? Two company and three's a crowd. It's not true. What's needed in every home is three people. Husband, wife, Jesus. Now you're going to like this. Anna, our daughter. When she was growing up, one of the favorite things that I love to do, and I try to encourage her sometimes, she won't do it sometimes. When she was real little, she'd come to me and says, Daddy, can I play with your hair? You remember this, Anna? Anna, she would sit on my shoulders, be watching TV. She had this container full of, what do they call them, hair breads. You know, listen, I'm a man, I don't know these things, okay? What them rubber things that women use to, what they call? Hair ties. And then little barrettes and little things. And Anna would sit here, and Anna would make about 100 little ponytails in my head. Oh, if Dana would have took a picture, could have blackmailed me for the rest of my life. But when Anna was growing up, my wife is a school teacher. She would leave very early in the morning. So it was my responsibility to get Anna up, to get her ready, get her dressed, get her breakfast, especially during school age. One of the things it was my responsibility is that sometimes it was my responsibility to braid her hair. Let me tell you something that men are not good at. And I remember, and I would just be goofing around and says, well, let me see what I can do with two things of hair. Now, let me ask you, ladies, can you take two clumps? Y'all forgive me. You know what I'm saying? Can you take two of them, put them together? Will they weave together? Will they braid? They will what? Fall apart. You have to have at least three. And I would take those three, put them together. What are them things called again? Thank you. Put a hair tie down here, hair tie up there. I was thinking about doing what I saw one guy do. He took a vacuum cleaner to his daughter, took the vacuum, sucked all her hair right in, then put the hair tie right there and just took and cut the... No, I never did that. Can I tell you, the only way you can build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, sir, ma'am, you got to have Jesus. You've got to build it on the rock. Say why? Because everybody goes through storms. And those storms are formable. And if you don't have Jesus in the midst of your family and in your marriage and with that of your kids, can I tell you, your house will have a great fall. Can we just, maybe here tonight, I'm just going to ask the instrumentalists if they'll go ahead and come here tonight. We'll have a time of invitation. I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a second. Can I just encourage you this way, sir, ma'am, husband, wife, husband, maybe you just grab the hand of your wife, or wife, you grab the hand of your husband, you just come down. Well, preacher, I'm okay. Can I tell you? That's exactly the mentality where Satan wants you, where you think you're going to be okay. And that's where Satan was going to come with his most fiercest of storms in your life. Can I say, mom and dad, maybe having your kids to come with you. And sometimes kids don't like that. I understand that. But I'm here to tell you, we're living in a world today where families are being torn apart. Husbands and wives are fussing and fighting. Families are splitting up. They're getting angry with one another. So, but preacher, we're born again believers. I want you to come into my office when I'm counseling somebody and see what's going on. Would you be willing to come? Let's stand together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that families would even come and maybe just even make a vow that, dear Lord, we're going to strengthen our marriage and build it on that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look to Him. We're going to depend on Him. We're going to make sure that we always stay focused. We're going to make sure that we seek first the kingdom of God. Because we want our family strong. We want our marriage strong. We want it to be that when the storms come, which come to everybody, that, dear Lord, our marriage will still stand because we built our marriage, we built our family on the rock. Just be willing to come here tonight. Grandma, Grandpa, I know you love your grandchildren. Can I tell you, you need to pray for that next generation and the generations to come. I just want to encourage you to come here tonight, if you would. Covet before God. Covet to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you're going to build a marriage that honors God. I'm going to let him sing one verse here tonight. You just come this evening if you will.
Amen. Amen, amen. You can look up this way. What a blessing it has been to be at church tonight. And we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. When the storms come, that's what we got to build our lives on. Thank you for that message. Well, it's been great to have the Gilberts with us tonight. And I'm going to ask you all, if you don't mind, slip back to your table. And as you head out tonight, make sure to swing by, grab one of their prayer cards, and be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for Pastor and Brother Daniel, Brother Eugene. And as they're traveling, flying, and get up here and see Brother David Mims, Super Dave, all right, Super Duper Dave, all right, it's right up here, and excited to have them here. But thank you all for being here tonight, and I'm going to close this in a word of prayer as we leave, and be safe as you go out, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're praying that you would help us, and Lord, we're thanking you for your goodness, and Lord, that when storms come, Lord, we can turn and trust you, and Lord, we pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you.